With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
It's The Wonky Show. Today, it's a special edition in conversation with Jeremy Miles, Minister for Education in the Welsh Government. It's all coming up. Welcome to The Wonky Show, your weekly way into this week's higher education news, policy and analysis. I'm Wonky's Editor-in-Chief, Mark Leach, and today with a one-off interview, I'm joined by Jeremy Miles, Minister for Education and the Welsh Language in the Welsh Government. And it's a good time to be speaking to him. The Commission for Tertiary Education Research is slowly coming together. We'll find out what the Minister is planning to ask the new body to prioritise. And if you've not been following it, the Commission and accompanying legislation bring together further and higher education in a way that has attracted plenty of attention from those outside Wales as well. I'll ask Jeremy whether the rest of the UK should be taking note, and if we can draw any inferences about a potential future Labour government's moves on HE in Westminster. A late amendment to the Tertiary Education Research Bill in Wales brought in a condition of registration on supporting and promoting the welfare of universities' own staff and students, potentially a landmark addition. We'll talk about what's intended and what it means. On student finance, Wales has arguably put the rest of the UK to shame. In January, announcing an uplift of 9.4%, at least for undergraduates, compared to England's miserly 2.8% increase during a period of record inflation. The change reflects the linking of maintenance to the minimum wage, and we'll chat about the pressures on government finances that brings. And shortly after we recorded the interview, we got the bombshell news that Wales would not follow England into Plan 5 arrangements for student-loan repayments. Instead, it will stick to the 30-year repayment term. The Minister's statement criticised the UK government for regressive reforms, which will primarily benefit the highest earners. Let's listen to a clip of the announcement in the Senate.
Though Wales' repayment system has historically been aligned to England's, my view is that the new English system is not a good deal for students. England's reforms benefit the highest earners and worsen the position for middle and lower earning graduates. Women are also disproportionately affected. I am clear that we certainly should not be asking teachers, nurses and social workers to pay more while the highest earners pay less. I am therefore announcing today that we will not move to the system adopted in England but will retain the current system. This means Welsh graduates will continue to repay loans under the 30-year repayment period rather than England's 40-year repayment period. I recognise the impact that the cost of living crisis can have on students and how worrying.
The new legislation and the new commission bring big changes for higher education in Wales. As Jeremy wrote on Wonky last year, we are not only bringing together all of Wales's tertiary education and research, but we are putting our values and ambitions into law, from lifelong learning and global outlook to civic mission, continuous improvement, bilingualism and widening participation. Let's find out how it's all going.
Well, I've been Education Minister now for coming up to a couple of years, and I guess there are very distinctive aspects to our education system in Wales. I guess the new curriculum is probably the most distinctive aspect. We've got a new curriculum which is really focused on developing literacy and numeracy standards and making sure that all our young people are confident, capable, compassionate citizens. That's a school-based, obviously, initiative, but we're trying to look at the entire education system through that lens. In terms of reform, obviously, we've just passed the new legislation to establish the Commission for Tertiary Education and Research. So that will govern all post-16 education. It's a sort of national steward, if you like, for tertiary education. And that's got a whole suite of strategic duties on the face of the legislation, which encapsulate our vision for higher education. I've said throughout, really. Those duties aren't a constraint on the sector. They're meant to be a kind of license to innovate, if you like. I want to see a new, renewed commitment to lifelong learning, to widening participation, to a strong sense of civic mission, but also a kind of confident global outlook for all our institutions. Obviously, in Wales, we have the language, so we have Coleg Cymraeg Cenedlaethol, which works with all our HE institutions to expand provision through the medium of Welsh and works in a very kind of nimble, innovative way. So I think there are lots of things which make HE in Wales pretty distinctive, actually.
What about your style? Would you say that you have a distinctive style as minister compared to your counterparts, in, particularly in Westminster?
Well, I think that's probably for others to judge. You know, my basic approach with our education system in Wales, we're a smaller country, so I think that's part of the context as well, of course. But we are able to work much more collaboratively together. So, you know, I can have meetings with all of the VCs together with myself in the same room, and we can have a very open, you know, challenging but collaborative set of discussions. And I really do think that makes that sort of approach makes a big difference. And when you're bringing in big reforms like we have with the establishment of the commission, whether that's in HE or actually in FE or adult community learning, all the sectors who are impacted by it, we've been able to do that actually in a partnership working really has been at the heart of it. And there've been some difficult things to work through. But I think it's worked pretty well, actually. We've managed to wrestle with some of those challenges together just because we've had that sort of open, you know, respectful but challenging relationship. But I just think that's the best way to operate, really.
I want to talk about the commission in a bit. But on that point about vice-chancellors and the relationship between government and the sector, how important do you think it is for universities to be distinctive in that kind of wider national system that's coming together?
Well, I think it is important, and we'll come on to the commission, as you say, but you know, the vision behind it is of one sector, but with a diversity of providers. And I think we've got national goals, some of that is in the legislation, but each institution will contribute towards that in their own distinctive way. And I don't want that to change. You know, we've got a range of institutions that have different complementary strengths, actually, but they're different in terms of size, mission, arguably, certainly research capacity, widening access capacity. So they've each got a different role to play. And I guess when I speak to university leaders, I ask them to be, you know, really clear, really focused about the unique role that their particular institution can play in the tertiary landscape, and look at what particular contribution they can make. And I'm keen, as minister, you know, to recognise that range of different contributions and work with them, you know, to support their place in that landscape, if you like.
And would you encourage them to work with other bits of the education system? For, I mean, one of the classic tension points has been between HE and FE, for example.
Yeah, so actually, again, I don't want to keep referring to the legislation, but it's just, you know, to the extent that it reflects our vision, that's where you'll find it. So a lot of that is about removing the barriers to collaboration. You know, we've had historically FE funded through government channels and HE obviously through HEFCU. And, you know, that is a boundary which is sometimes difficult to navigate and certainly sometimes operates as a bit of a grit in the machine, actually, and not in a helpful way. So I really do want to see much more collaboration. And we are seeing it, by the way, at the moment in Wales, which is very encouraging. But I want to see much more collaboration between HE and FE, certainly, but actually also between different HE institutions. There's a lot more potential for us to be doing that as well. And I think that's a very positive prospect.
So the commission is now taking shape, and it's going to be up and running properly soon. When are you going to be writing your first formal letter and setting out your priorities for it?
Yeah. So we've announced the new chair and deputy chair, and last week I also announced my preferred candidate for the chief executive. So there's a really good blend of skills and experience between those three individuals, and the interest in board recruitment has been phenomenal. So there's some really good names that have come forward for that. So I'm really confident that in terms of the person, you know, the people, as it were, we'll have a very, very strong lineup. So when they're all in place, we'll have an the commission will be established, if you like. It'll become operational in April 2024. And then after that, there's a transition period, as you'd obviously expect. And so I'm working now on what that first letter of strategic priorities will look at. You know, obviously, it will reflect a lot of our current priorities, which have gone into establishing the commission and setting the duties. But I'll be doing that after the commission is operational next year.
On widening access is one of the areas where Wales lags behind England. And I don't want to labour the point about comparing different parts of the UK, as I say, but Wales does lag on a lot of different measures of widening access and in awarding and in grades. Do you think that the kind of the approach to regulation is going to do enough to start turning that around?
Well, I mean, it's not all about regulation. There are other things which we can and are doing. I mean, I would just say, though, just as context, I think the trends are positive, even though there's more to do. So over the last decade, for example, the numbers in the two most deprived quintiles, if you like, have increased significantly, and the percentage gaps between lowest and highest quintiles have been closing. But, you know, obviously there's more to do. We've had fee and access plans in Wales, which is, I guess, the equivalent of access and participation plans over the border. And one of the key commitments which the commission is subject to is to widening participation, but also retention, attainment and progression. So there'll be a registration condition for all providers which they'll need to meet. That's designed to be to impose fewer administrative burdens, if you like, and to focus more closely on outcomes. So that's a core strategic aim for the commission. But, you know, we've got a lot of other initiatives. So we've got the Sarah and Academy, which is focused on getting disadvantaged learners into university. We've got the Reaching Wider programme, which HEFCU runs for us. But you'll have seen last week that I've increased educational maintenance allowance in Wales from £30 to £40 a week, because that's all about making sure people stay on in education, even in these, you know, most challenging financial times. So there's obviously more to do, but there's an awful lot going on already.
I mean, yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that. I mean, the maintenance offer is a lot more generous than the rest of the UK. I guess the question is, you know, how long can that be maintained for, and why isn't it translating yet into that kind of improvement across access?
Well, it is increasing, as I say, and the trends are positive. So, you know, we are absolutely committed to making sure that we have high levels of progressive principles in our student finance system. Everyone gets some loan, and many students get most of their funding through grant, and many students get most of their funding through grant. So that's a very positive landscape. For the 23-24 academic year, we've increased maintenance support by coming almost 10%. So I think that's a very significant approach, very significantly distinctive approach. And as you will know, we've, since the Diamond reforms in Wales, we've linked the value of our maintenance support to the National Living Wage, which is really positive. And obviously that also applies to part-time students. So, you know, I'm absolutely committed to making sure that we continue being as progressive as possible. You know, when England moved to Plan 5, actually, as it happens, we weren't given enough warning to be able to make an informed decision, if you like, in Wales on what that would mean for our students. But I'm absolutely clear that is a regressive move, and I'm absolutely committed to making sure we can use our the greater headroom, if you like, that we have in our RAB charge in Wales, because students in Wales leave university with less debt, to use that headroom to make sure that the arrangements we have are more progressive and as progressive as possible.
And what about for institutions where obviously £9,000 has been frozen, and so that everyone's facing inflationary pressures? Would you do something similar with the, or would you look to do something similar with the funding system to ease that at all?
Well, I mean, you know, we've invested significantly in university since we've reformed our student finance system, and particularly over the last few years during the really acute pressures during COVID. The fundamental challenge that we have in Wales, as you will know, is the significant contribution to our HE sector of structural funds. So obviously the news in relation to Horizon Europe Association is very, very positive. But the fundamental issue for us in Wales is that structural funds haven't been replaced. The UK government basically has broken its promise and failed to honour repeated promises, actually, that we wouldn't be any worse off in that regard. So that's a very, very fundamental challenge. And, you know, we continue to do everything we can as a government to make that case to the UK government.
Do you think that conversation will get easier if Labour win the next general election and have power in Westminster?
Well, it's always good to have politicians of the same political stripe as the Welsh Government at the other end of the M4, that we approach challenges from the same, you know, same values, really.
Because I think a lot of people are wondering whether what you're doing in Wales is, you know, kind of a possible forebearer to higher education policy or education policy more broadly in well, particularly in England, but perhaps the rest of the UK, depending on how well Labour do at the next election.
Well, you know, I've got really good relations with my Labour counterparts in other parts of the UK. I'm in regular contact with Bridget Phillipson, our Shadow Education Secretary in Westminster. And as I say, you know, as Labour politicians, we approach questions with the same values, from the same perspective, if you like. But, you know, one of the key advantages of devolution, if you like, is that it's up for politicians in each of the nations to apply their values to the challenges in those countries. So whilst we, I'm sure, will come at things from the same perspectives, whether the particular solutions are the same is a separate question, really. But that's, you know, that's great. That's one of the benefits of devolution. We can all learn from what's happening in other parts of the UK, particularly where, you know, there are governments of the same political colour in place. You can actually be inspired by what's happening elsewhere.
Well, I suspect people will be looking very closely at the model that's being implemented, particularly on the ideas of a more tertiary system. Can you imagine something like that existing in England, or is there too much historical baggage?
Well, I mean, it's certainly something that you know, as you will absolutely know, you know, politicians of all persuasions in England have seen the benefits of that sort of approach. I just think, you know, the conclusion we reached here in Wales was that if you want to have a tertiary system which reflects obviously the needs of your learners, but also the needs of your economy and more broadly than that, your society, then actually, you know, having that greater flexibility, a much clearer focus on the learner and on the contribution of your tertiary sector to innovation in the economy, that's absolutely essential. So, you know, I was really keen when I became minister that we would pass legislation, not just which created the regulator, but also put on the face of the legislation our vision for tertiary education. And I think, you know, I'm very pleased how that's worked out so far.
And brings me on to another area where there's some interesting debates, which is lifelong learning. And obviously there's a lifelong loan entitlement which is being developed in England. What's your thinking about adult and lifelong learning in Wales in particular, and how it could possibly link up with that scheme?
Well, I mean, when I was first elected in 2016, I was banging on incessantly, if you like, about Wales being a nation of second chances in education, where it's never too late to learn. And now I've had the opportunity, really, as minister, to make that a reality. So, you know, as in all parts of the UK, there are some challenging trends to overcome, aren't there? So, adult participation in learning has fallen right across the UK over the last 10 years or so. And those who are most likely to benefit from it are those who are least likely to do so. So, you know, that's a pretty challenging set of circumstances for us all. But there's a new duty on the commission. And in fact, it's the first duty to encourage, promote lifelong learning. We've looked again at our funding for adult community learning in Wales over the last few years, distributed that more fairly, I guess you could say, and increased the funding to reach those hardest to reach learners, you know, reflecting the challenge that we have. And we've also massively increased our in-work reskilling funding through the personal learning account. So there's a lot going on already. And you could also say, I think, fairly, that if you look at the Diamond reforms, we're probably doing already some of which the lifelong loan entitlement is designed to do, in particular on part-time and adult HE study in particular. But, you know, there is anything which moves in the direction of making part-time HE financing more flexible, more accessible is a good thing. And, you know, the proposals in England, I think, are at a sort of slightly early stage at the moment, but I would be keen, obviously, to work with the UK government to keep an eye on how that develops and to look at how some of that approach could, you know, take further the reforms you already have in place here in Wales.
Would you push a student loan company for changes? Would you go as far as that to try and finagle the system to be more friendly towards, you know, a more modular approach?
Well, you know, we've already seen a massive increase in part-time learning here, in particular, obviously, through the Open University. But so that trend is already happening here in Wales. But, you know, as we look forward, we've got to always make sure that our post-16 landscape in terms of skills, qualifications, reflects not just the needs of the economy, but how people want to learn, how it fits their lifestyle. So there's a really important discussion, I think, about, you know, structure of qualifications and so on. Some of that's around the modular agenda. But as I say, we'll be keeping a very close eye on those lifelong loan entitlement proposals. They're pretty high level, I think, at the moment. But, you know, if there are things that can benefit Wales in there as well, I'll certainly want to look at that.
Mm-hmm. So I want to talk about housing, because this is an issue for the whole of the UK and is particularly acute in some cities. It's notable in Cardiff and Bangor in particular, in terms of the student housing crisis in Wales. I know you've said that universities should engage with local authorities and public services to address, you know, issues across the board in public policy. But how is something as thorny like student housing, how's that going to be tackled?
Yeah, well, we've got a number of engagements in this space already. So we've got working groups such as Rent Smart Wales, for example, is leading, and NUS Wales is a member of that and provides a very important, you know, set of first-hand perspective, if you like. I've discussed this issue many, many times with NUS Wales. It's obviously an acute challenge. I'd like universities to be part of that, of those groupings as well. And my officials are working with Universities Wales on how best that can happen. Because, you know, as you say, there are some pretty acute challenges at the moment. Our perspective as a government is that everyone has a right to an affordable and a decent home. And we're committing to publishing a green paper on rent controls specifically, and a white paper in relation to our proposals for a right to adequate housing. And as part of that, you know, co-development approach, if you like, NUS Wales, for example, is part of the stakeholder work around that, which is really, really important. But, you know, as you were saying in your question, it's really important that universities work together with the private housing sector to make sure that, you know, the best possible use is made of all private housing and university accommodation to support students.
Mm. And what about just where, when it goes wrong, where there are just too many students and not enough beds? Whose responsibility is it to step in and do something about that?
Well, as I say, from our point of view, what we are trying to do is make sure that the market works. It is a market, isn't it? The market works in a way which doesn't disadvantage students. But it's a complex area, and it's absolutely an area where parties need to work together, which is why those, you know, making sure all those voices are around the table is so critical to being able to move forward on this.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
You talked about students as citizen offer. And I know you're interested in the role that universities can play in nurturing students as active citizens. What does that really look like? What does that mean? And how is that distinctive to the Welsh education system?
Yeah, so we just talked about the lifelong learning agenda, which I describe as a kind of citizen and student offer. And then this is the flip side, really, the student and citizen offer, which is, you know, I started by talking about our curriculum, making sure all our young people leave school with the knowledge, skills and experiences to be ethical informed citizens. And this is about making sure those values exist in all parts of our education system. Obviously, it'll look very, very differently in higher education, and it'll look very differently between individual institutions. But I'd like to see, if you like, a sort of new social contract, really, between students, universities and the nation, really. And that will look different, as I say, but it's about making sure that, as well as leaving university with an excellent academic education, that students leave with, you know, employability skills, entrepreneurial skills, resilience, experience of diverse communities in Wales, all of those extra experiences and skills which, you know, give you that ability to be a rounded citizen. I think the Commission will have an important role in implementing that, but it's certainly something I've been talking to institutions in Wales. I think it would be a great USP, if you like, for the HE sector in Wales.
Do you think the willing universities?
Yes, I think they're very interested in it, actually. I mean, I think it looks differently in each institution, as I say, but I think it's captured the imagination, and I'm, you know, keen to work with them directly, but also with the Commission to make that a reality.
Hmm. Later in the passage of the legislation, you introduced a duty on universities around learner well-being. What are you trying to achieve with that?
Actually, it's around learner welfare, so it's slightly more, it's slightly broader than well-being. One of my priorities, as it is, I think, right across the world, in light of what we've been living through most recently in particular, is making sure that learner well-being is at the heart of all parts of our education system. It's absolutely critical, obviously for health and well-being, but also for successful outcomes. And it's obviously, something that Wonky talks about a lot. So, you know, the new reforms put that very much at the heart of the regulatory environment. That I think is the first legal duty of its kind in the UK to make sure that the promotion of the welfare of students and staff is at the heart of the regulatory environment. And so the new Commission will be setting out very clear expectations for universities and colleges around their policies and how they support students, both student and staff wellbeing and welfare, actually. And the critical thing, I think, is making sure that's delivered on the ground and that there's, you know, long-term monitoring and oversight of that as well. I think all institutions are, you know, wrestling with what more they can do to make sure that they're supporting students in this. We've been able to provide some additional funding recently through HEFCU to support institutions in HE institutions in Wales. But, you know, it's obviously a very, very live agenda. And there's some very interesting work going on in Wales, as I'm sure there is elsewhere, around how the university sector and the health service can work together to support challenges when they become at their most acute. But it's that sort of innovation that we need to see, really.
Yeah, yeah. So we talked quite a lot about Wales. Let's look a bit further afield. Tell us about TAFE.
So TAFE, which is the Welsh word.
Sorry, apologies.
That's okay. It's the Welsh word for journey. We're really pleased with this. So it's a £65 million investment which we've made as a government. Obviously, when the UK left the European Union, the UK government chose to withdraw us from Erasmus Plus. We thought that was a terrible idea. So we've established in Wales a education exchange programme, which obviously has potential for HE, but also, and I think very excitingly, for FE, for adult community learning, for youth services and for schools. So it's across the entire education system from primary through to postgraduate. It's reciprocal, it's mutual, it has a very wide international network, and I hope and expect that there'll be about 25,000 mobilities which we will be supporting over the course of the 5 or 6 years. And I think I was in Brussels at the end of last year talking to some ambassadors in the member states, but also to MEPs there, and it's been really positively received. But you know, the reach of it is significantly beyond the European Union, so it's a very exciting development actually.
I'm interested in what your elevator pitch is for Welsh higher education when you are out and about in the rest of the world. In how do you describe what's distinctive about it?
Well, as I say, I think we've got a very clear partnership approach to working as institutions, a collaboration, high levels of collaboration between institutions and other parts of the sector, and a really strong offer to students. And I think there's a very exciting opportunity for us to take that offer to the next stage with that idea of students as citizens.
And when looking back at your time as minister, what would you want people to say your legacy is for higher education, but education more broadly?
Well, I'm not probably at the stage of thinking of my legacy just yet, Mark. But you know, my single biggest commitment since the time I took on the role was to make sure that every single learner gets the best possible education experience, whatever their background is, closing that attainment gap at all stages of our education journey, giving excellence to each student, whatever their background is very, very much what motivates me. I became interested in politics very much because of my own experience of education. I've seen it very much as the kind of golden thread, if you like, that has bound my life together. It's given me fantastic opportunities. And I want every other young person in Wales and anybody who comes to study in Wales to have the same kind of opportunities.
So that was my interview with the Minister Jeremy Miles, recorded earlier this month. And given the subsequent announcement that Wales is sticking with the current student finance system, it's perhaps not surprising that we didn't get too much into the question of finances. You can read more about all of that and the latest developments on Wocky.com. So that's about it for this week. Don't forget you can get the latest show automatically when it's out. Just search for The Wonky Show wherever you get your podcasts. And to find out about how we can keep you and your organisation ahead of everything that's going on in UKHE, do head to the website to find out more about our subscriptions. So thanks very much to Jeremy and his team at the Welsh Government and everyone that makes it happen behind the scenes. We'll be back next week with a regular show. Jim will be here. In the meantime, stay wonky.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.